invention of Shaitan. Rosicrucian movement. The Freemason movement. Freemasons are a discovery of Shaitan. In other words, he invented this grade and put it into the minds of these people. This is how you must do. This is how you can control the world. This is how you can control the economies of governments. You make this movement. Who? It is a religion with the Freemasons. Freemasonry is a religion with the Freemasons. They believe in it. Invention of who? Creation of who? Shaitan. The Theosophical Society. All these are what we call alternative religions. Alternative ways, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the other ways. O man, O Muslimin, you must not follow these ways. Theosophical Society. I was a few years ago in Australia. Leading Muslims told me there how they have been approached by many of these people, many of these members of such bodies, to try and get them to join up. And my Muslim brothers, some of them told me, Maulana, we were almost on the point. We thought, well, what is this? No problem. We join up. Those that joined and managed to come out have told me and recounted to me tales of what these movements espouse and how they believe. It is a religion, brother. Anyways, Theosophical Society, Scientology. They call it now the Church of Scientology. In other words, they have agreed that it is a religion and a way of life. Then you have the Rastafarians. I find them now a lot growing and increasing. Strange belief, but with them, to the Rastafarians, it is a religion. Then you have, amongst the Christian movements, what we call the Children of God. You have, from the East coming, Divine Light Mission and the Hare Krishna movement. But there are more Europeans belonging to the Hare Krishna movement than what they are Indians, yet it originates from there. Then you have the Human Potential movement. All these are religions. Human Potential movement. This is more European, American movement. Then you have the Ananda Marga. The name Ananda Marg or Ananda Marga sounds so Eastern, but also American. Cultist movement, Ananda Marga. Then you have the Jesus movement. Then you have the Meher Baba. The Meher Baba, this is, they call themselves, the disciples of Meher Baba call themselves Baba lovers. They follow the teachings of their Indian master, who was called Meher Baba. And this Meher Baba of India observed silence from 1925. Shaitan came to him at that time. Long before that, Shaitan had been working on him all the time. And in 1925, he became a disciple of Shaitan. And Shaitan instructed him that you are a great man, a great saint, and you see things, and I will show you things. But I will only show you things if you remain silent until the day you die. You can write of your experiences, but you're not going to open your mouth any longer. So this man, Meher Baba, became silent from 1925, and he died in 1969. From the period 1925 to 1969, he is not known to have uttered a single word. He was not, Shaitan made him not to utter, and then Shaitan showed him things, knowing that he was not going to disclose it to people. So Shaitan showed him many, many things, many secrets, many knowledges Shaitan gave him. Many things Shaitan used to show him. And he then used to write it and he used to give it. And people used to say, but his predictions are accurate and correct. So he's a great man, he's a great saint. And slowly, from great man, honorable man, saintly man, he was turned into a god. And then he became god. So that is where it started, the Meher Baba movement. And the people that are his greatest followers today in Europe and the United States are wealthy, very wealthy, millionaire and billionaire Europeans and Americans. So that's by way of example. They believe that Meher Baba was God incarnate. And he has the largest followers, and very wealthy followers in Europe and the USA. Now all these movements are like that. I'm just giving you one example, a breakdown of one. Then you have the People's Temple, also invention of Shaitan. People's Temple. You have, and you have heard of this, the Rajneesh Meditation Movement. Rajneesh Meditation Movement. This man that managed to accumulate 24 Rolls Royce and mansions and many followers in the United States. In 3 years' time he accumulated and became one of the wealthiest men, said to be around about $400 million worth. And that's not besides the accumulation of gold and jewels, etc. Strange. Shaitan is very clever, brothers. He's very devilish. Then you have so many followers throughout the world of this man, Sai Baba. Sai Baba was Shaitan. In other words, he was a human Shaitan. Subud. This is also a movement. I don't want to give you a breakdown of them, but the Subud movement also. Here, I believe here also there are quite a few followers. Enchanted by Subud, Shaitan's follower. It is a religion, not a way, not a philosophy, not just a movement. It is a religion created, invented by Shaitan to grab hold of the minds of people today, just to keep them away from Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. Then you have another movement, the Sinanon movement, S-Y-N-A-N-O-N, the Sinanon movement. And let me tell you a bit about the Sinanon movement also. They were founded in California in 1958 by Charles Dederich. They believe that peace and happiness can be attained through encounter group therapy of extreme emotional intensity and not through religion. So what they do is, generally, and this is the movement that started, we've had several versions of them appearing here in South Africa. And it is a terrible movement, brothers. What they do is they get a group of people together who join up. When they join up this religion or this church, they get a group of 10 or 12 people together. And now the leader of that group is an old follower of the Sinanon movement. And they get him, and the group therapy means you are then asked questions of a nature and a kind, and the build up is slow, whereby they tear your mind into, in other words, they call it a mental flashpoint, where you are mentally cleansed and purified. Bodily and physically you can do the worst things. You can do the ugliest things, the most unnatural acts you can indulge in. But they believe religion means mental purity, mental purification. So they start working on the minds of people, and they start questioning you, and they start probing you, and it gets so fired up and so emotional that you break down completely, and you can be for months on end a psychological wreck, a mental wreck. And then they get you back, and you become a disciple of this particular movement, and you are totally enslaved, completely enslaved, so enslaved that you just, you know, you're just a dud, just a thing. And you will carry out every, when the master tells you, they have a master, for each group they have a master, whatever the master's bidding is, he is like a godhead to you, whatever he bids you do it. Others come along and they see, and they say, but meow. Bring water for me, he will bring a water. Do this for me, sit down, stand up like a dog, brothers. You know, a dog that you have trained, an animal that you have trained. This is how the disciples become. But man is so strange, and Shaitan knows him so well. When he sees, they say, but this must be a great religion, this must be a great movement. Look how people obey. And so they sign their name and pay their fees, running into thousands of dollars. They sell their homes. They leave their wives and children, they leave their friends, they abandon their work, they desert their community, everything for this, because they are so enchanted. Wow, what is there in man that does this to him, brothers? I don't know. This. For this, because they are so enchanted. Wow, what is there in man that does this to him, brothers? I don't know. They sacrifice everything, and they come and join this movement, and they become like animals. Everything they will carry out. But the group therapy encounter process is a very devilish one, devised by Shaitan. As time goes on, Shaitan realizes that this is what he must do with human beings. This is how he must destroy the structure of their religion and keep them away from what? From Islam. Astaghfirullah, brothers. This is how Shaitan is operating today. Transcendental meditation is a religion that you know. The unification movement, brothers, there was a very bad and very unfortunate episode of this unification movement. They go under various names. One movement started here whereby they tried to join and tell us that six religions belong to one. So whether you are a Hindu or whether you are a Muslim or whether you are a Christian or whether you are a Jew, and two other religions besides. If you belong to, you come. This religion espouses, Unification Church espouses, that all six are one, and that we should, we believe in Quran, we believe in Bible, we believe in Torah, you know, and so on. All six we believe, and it became so appealing that I know of several leading Muslims that asked me the question that, Maulana, could we join up? I mean, is there anything wrong in this? It seems that it is a bringing together of brother religions and brother faiths. Astaghfirullah, brothers. This is what is going on. So this is also devised by Shaitan. Then you have the Way International. This is a new group that has started. Way International. All religions are one. All mankind are brothers and sisters. Why should we be divided into Muslim and Christian and Jew and Hindu and Buddhist and this and that and Chinese and Japanese and... we don't want all that. We are all human beings. We are all the children of God. So all of us must belong together. This Way International is a recently devised one. Brothers, what is here? Astaghfirullah. Shaitan makes it possible through schemes. He shows man to become rich and powerful and to become the power behind many a throne, behind many a president, and behind many a parliament. These movements, brothers, are so rich. They are so rich. But Shaitan knows man respects today wealth. Man will follow and obey today any scheme and any way and any religion that can bring wealth to him. And this is what is happening. And people are flocking and following. And Shaitan is waiting for the time, the day we begin also to, still we resist amongst the Ummah Muhammadiyya ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. We still know, and Alhamdulillah, Summa Alhamdulillah, may Allah keep us this way. That there are still in the Ummah of Sayyidina Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, those who say, wealth, if it's ill-gained, we don't want. They're prepared to kick it aside and abolish it. We still, amongst us, there are many who say, Alhamdulillah, if this is my taqdeer, Ya Allah, I am satisfied. If you have set out for me simple bread and dry bread and water in my home, I still make Alhamdulillah, I make shukr of Allah. As long as such people are in this ummah will be saved. But many amongst us are being swayed and are going away and moving away, those who worship wealth. And these bodies are so powerful, they are so powerful, that all these groups that I name have got churches which are gilded with gold. So much wealth. You go and see this Hare Krishna movement church in Chatsworth in Durban. It is amazing. The structure is amazing. People are flocking and joining them just because they see this magnificent and very enchanting, fascinating structure they see. And they are so fascinated. They say, these people have got so much money, that there's so much gold and so much things in here of great value, then this must be a great religion. And so they flock to them. Anyway, brothers, it's a very, very sad thing. All I'm telling you here is this is how Shaitan is succeeding with mankind. And also, that these movements are the power. Shaitan tells them that, you know, when you join this movement, you will be power. You will be the power behind the throne, power behind many a parliament, because many important ministers and officials belong to these movements. Whereas I have mentioned to you, in many of our Eastern countries, Muslim countries, many of the great officials there, and leading officials, presidents and cabinet ministers and parliamentarians, are members of these movements, particularly the Freemason movement. The machinations of Shaitan have been numerous. He has masqueraded amongst men. He has masqueraded amongst men in many disguises and in many false colors. He has used many a ruse and many tricks to snare and to trap men. He has colluded with many a hypocrite amongst men. The history of mankind is available to all and sundry. The history of many nations is recounted in the Quran Majid. The causes of their decline and downfall are well known to Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعَقِلُونَ O Muslimin, O reciters of Quran, why do you not therefore think, consider, why do you not understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need to appeal to us. No need whatsoever. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعَقِلُونَ My children, my creation, my most and honorable in creation, you, O Muslimin, amongst mankind, entire, everything is Allah's creation, but Allah Ta'ala is saying, you are my most honored, you believers in Tawheed, and in Risalat and Akhirat, you are the most respected of peoples in mankind. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, now I'm asking you, why don't you sit and consider all these things, the facts of life? Now turn your attention, I ask you, to the Ummah of Muslimin. We who are the proclaimers, the propagators and upholders of Quran and Sunnah. We who are the believers in the absolute oneness, in the absolute tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We who express faith in the pure worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look around us and judge our condition in the light of ayat number 60, 61 and 62 of Surah Yasin, 36 Surah of the Quran, which I recited earlier, and in the light of the history of mankind. And tell me, what do you see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِ اَبُدُونِ, and I command you not to worship shaitan or to idolize any other, but only worship Allah. How much kufr and shirk do you see in the Muslim community around you? Have we submitted to shaitan? Have we surrendered our religion to shaitan? Have we given ourselves over to the waswas of shaitan? Tell me how much nifaq and hypocrisy exists in the Muslim ummah. Tell me how much bid'ah exists in the nations of Islam. Tell me how many sects and segments do you see around you. Tell me, is shaitan succeeding with the Muslim ummah in the way he swindled the past nations and religions of the world? Tell me, where is the purity and originality of the deen of Islam? In our midst we have Baha'is, Subudians, Ahmadis, Mirzais, Ismailis, Khojas, Shias, Mu'tazilites, Ahle Quran who believe in Quran and not in Sunnah. We have Parvezis, we have Munkarina Hadith, meaning rejectors of Hadith, stand up and say openly, we reject all Ahadith, they are all a fabrication. They were written too many years after the period of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they are all concoctions, all made up. Na'udhu billah, they exist within us and amongst us. How many ghair mukalladin do we have who stand up and say, we follow none of the four imams? We have no need of any imams. They call them ghair mukalladin, who refuse to follow the imams of the four schools of fiqh. And numerous others besides that walk along with us. Who is following wa'ani abuduni? Who is following hadha siratu mustaqim amongst us? Everybody wants to say that they are right. But with so many variations and so many differences, we are divided into so many different groups and segments and camps. I'm asking you, has shaitan not deluded us and deceived us? The ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the followers of the deen of Islam, has shaitan not deceived us and seduced us as well? I would like you to think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayat number 62 of Surah Yasin, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعَقِلُونَ, why do you not therefore understand, consider? When we follow Islam and we keep to Islam steadfastly, then shaitan will try to deceive us and to mislead us. Mark my words, this is my last few words to you for Sha'aban. And when we meet again, it will be Ramadan. So I am asking you this, after giving you 20 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what I am asking, reminding you. When we follow Islam, and we hold Islam tight, in other words, we keep to Islam steadfastly, with tolerance, with sabr, we do not let go, then shaitan will try to deceive us and to subvert us and to mislead us in the best possible way that he can. But his schemes will not succeed, because the help and the mercy. And after every salah, we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard us and to protect us from the evil plans and the cunning schemes of shaitan. When we do so, then we must be in full earnest and in full sincerity. Shaitan will not then be able to deceive us or to mislead us. We really need to clear up our act, or the consequences will be very, very destructive. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا رب صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون يا رب صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد بعدد من صلى عليه وصل على محمد بعدد من لم يصلي عليه وصل على محمد كما امرت بالصلاة عليه وصل على محمد كما تحب ان يصلى عليه وصل على محمد كما ينبغي ان تصلى عليه يا رب صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الاحوال والافات وتقضي لنا بها من جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الآيات وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم الحمد لله all thanks all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb, Sustainer, our Creator, Khalik, our Master, Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom are due all praises, all thanks, all our gratefulness, all our gratitude. And we send darud and salam upon the beloved Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to mankind, Sayyidina wa Nabina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We send also Allah's choicest blessings upon the family of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we send the fondest of memories, the greatest of blessings upon the companions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. And we also send our choicest blessings, the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the great ulama-i-karam, awliya-i-karam, mufassirin-i-karam, muhaddisin-i-karam, and muarriqin-i-karam of the past. To all of them we are indebted for having arrived at this, the holy month of Ramadanul Mubarak of the year 1412 of the Hijrah. And we sit here in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the third of Ramadan, 1412, equivalent to the month of March of 1992, according to the Christian era. I have, before commencing with today's lesson, a letter in front of me, and I've been wondering for several months prior to Ramadan, while doing the prep work for this fascinating series on Shaitan's Plan for Man, how I would commence this year, how I would introduce the subject, particularly to those of you who have perhaps come here for the first time. In my career of teaching and lecturing, speaking to people on deen over the last quarter of a century, many, many hundreds, perhaps even thousands of very interesting letters have been received by me from people from all over the world. Not to boost one's ego, one is afraid to show pride because it is forbidden, it is haram. Therefore these letters are filed away quietly and hidden away from sight and view of most of you. They are not published, they are not meant for publication. It is a personal letter sent from one Muslim brother or sister to another. I have, however, one with which I wish to commence today's talk, and this is dated the 26th of January 1992. It says here, my dear brother in Islam, I sent a letter to the YMMA. This YMMA is a young men's Muslim organization situated in Benoni. This writer says they sent a letter to the YMMA tape library around the 11th of the 5th month 1991. I don't know if they received it or not, however, I am too anxious to wait for a reply. Just in case they didn't receive the previous letter, I am sending you one also. My brother in Islam, we have in America a great need of sound Islamic knowledge, ilm that will help us to know what Allah Ta'ala expects of us Muslims and how we as Muslims are to put it into practice. You see, we are very ignorant of Islam concerning every aspect of our lives. So far, no one has taken on the task, that is, of the learned and sound ulama, to sacrifice themselves for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala to give us prolonged, extensive instruction on the deen of Islam. Brother, if you knew the ignorance we experience as Muslims, it would truly bring tears to your eyes daily. I know, because daily I cry to Allah to send me an instruction or an instructor. An instructor who practices Islam according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To teach as the Prophet taught the Sahaba, not out of his own opinion. Brother, I cry daily just as the tears are flowing as I write this letter. We do need Islam. We need to know what will happen when Malak al-Maut comes to us. What will happen on our deathbed? What will happen in our graves? How to transact our business? How to treat our husbands, wives, children, parents, in-laws, nieces, nephews, neighbors, brothers and sisters? We need to know these things and much, much more. The families are breaking up all around us. Shaitan is exercising the upper hand over us. We are losing the battle. Only the knowledge of Islam can make us victorious. We have to know how to fight this shaitan. We must learn to recognize Iblis and his agents. We have to know when we have taken the accursed one as a partner. If we do not learn these things, we will surely be amongst the unfortunate ones. O Allah, please save us from such a state. Ameen. Brother, I want you to know something about the situation we are in here in America. I hope and pray this letter has allowed you to know we are in a dire situation here in America. Our souls are starving for knowledge of Islam. Brother, I would humbly like to make a request of you. I have come to know of your discourses. Your discourses are truly a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. I have come to know you have discourses on many subjects. Mawlana Adam, if there is any way you can send me or see to it that I receive all of your tapes, I will pay for the postage. First class email. We need these tapes so much that if you can send them to me, I wouldn't want to delay in receiving them any other way less than first class email. Although I am not a person of great means, if you can please send the tapes first class email, I will surely pay the postage, inshallah. Please excuse me for writing such a long letter, taking up too much of your time. May Allah bless you and your endeavors. Ameen. This letter is signed Sister Fatima Abu Bakr. She adds here, P.S. if you need the money for the first class email before mailing the tapes, please let me know how much it is. I will send it promptly, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. And please acknowledge this letter, Sister Fatima Abu Bakr. Brothers, I have read this letter out for you for a particular reason. And that reason is as follows. First, look at the thirst that exists around the world. We sit here, myself and a group of brothers. Every Sunday we've been sitting for the past year, and for many years we had it on Monday nights for many years in various masajid, and we are at this moment at this venue, the Masjid al-Sabr in Primrose Park. And we conduct these lessons and we go on from week to week and month to month and year to year, not realizing where the seeds are being planted of Iman, of Islam, of Deen, of the desire to learn and know and acknowledge Deen. We do not realize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy and compassion is all powerful. And Allah, Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir, who is all powerful, spreads the knowledge of deen to the far corners of the globe, to those Muslim hearts that desire to know. Before I proceed, my dear brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, you and I have pledged, we have made an ahad, we have struck a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a promise. We call it a covenant because it is that kind of promise that must never be broken. Therefore we call it by the holy name of a covenant or a ahad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which we have pledged to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one and to carry out all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this promise and covenant that we have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's put it in simple terms, in this deal that we have struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us not stray. Let us hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not permit and allow ourselves to be misled and deceived by shaitan, or as the sister says, the agents of shaitan. We must carry our burden. And that burden is to be obedient to Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything in the final instance boils down to that particular factor. To commence today's lesson, lecture you can call it if you want to, it is a subject we've been speaking on for almost a year. Shaitan's plan for man. I have done thus far 20 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just before Ramadan. 2 weeks before Ramadan we concluded with 20. I will now proceed with the 21st commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this goes as follows. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Anishkuru lillah وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرُ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكْ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ وَاقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَاغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ Surah Luqman, 31st Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 12 to Ayat number 19. 12 to 19, Surah 31, Surah Luqman, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, translation coming up, show gratitude to Allah, show thankfulness to Allah, for whoever is thankful and grateful is very verily grateful to the benefit of his own self, of his own soul. And if anyone is ungrateful, then verily Allah is self-sufficient and worthy of all praise. Associate not equals with Allah. Verily polytheism, verily shirk is a grievous wrong. And we have enjoined on man concerning his parents. This is a translation, literal, verbal translation of the ayat of the Quran. And we have enjoined on man concerning his parents. His mother carries him in weakness upon weakness. And his weaning takes 2 years. We have commanded him, show gratitude to Allah and show gratitude to your parents. And to Allah is your final return. And if they, meaning the parents or the elders or the ulama, those in authority, and if they endeavor to prevail on you to associate with Allah, concerning which you have no knowledge, then obey them not, and bear them company in this world kindly, justly. Let's look at this again. The others I will not repeat. We have a lot of work to do today. And if they, meaning your parents, your elders, if they endeavor to prevail upon you to associate partners with Allah concerning which you have no knowledge, then obey them not and bear them company in this world nevertheless kindly, justly, and follow the way of those who sincerely turn to Allah. Be constant in prayer, salah, and command what is just, and forbid that which is evil, and bear patiently whatever may befall you. Verily, these are matters that require very firm resolve. And turn not your cheek away from men. In brackets I've got in pride or in scorn or in contempt. And turn not your cheek away from men. Neither walk in the earth insolently, haughtily, proudly. Verily, Allah loves not arrogant, boastful men. And be moderate in walk, and be moderate in pace, and lower your voice. Verily, the harshest of all voices is the braying of an ass. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Here you are. As I have translated these for you, I have emphasized the simplicity of the instructions, meaning the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is not a book of fables, not a book of similes, not a book of stories. Every story carries lessons. There are orders, ordainments, instructions and decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us, teaching us, commanding us. And it is upon us to carry out the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are in reality, in these ayat that I have recited to you, 15 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in the 8 ayat of Surah Luqman from 12 to 19. All of them are of the utmost importance for Muslims to observe. These commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very clear, very lucid, and their carrying out is an incumbent duty on all Muslims. I ask you to look around you at the pathetic condition of Muslims everywhere, all around us, and to think of the reasons for this malady, this malaise, this disease. How well do we respect and carry out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How dutiful and how observant are we? Has shaitan succeeded in deregulating us from the observance of our Islamic duties? Has ignorance spread to such an extent that we no longer fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That we no longer fear the punishment that befalls evildoers and sinners in the hereafter, in the akhirah? I ask you, why do we submit to shaitan and not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I ask you, what is wrong with this ummah? So many nations have been destroyed for rebelling against the commands of Allah ta'ala and against the teachings of their respective prophets. I ask you, what are we busy doing by our growing neglect and our increasing ignorance? Do we not know that if we are disobedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is going to happen to us? We are already the football of unbelieving nations of this world. They are toying around with us. Shaitan is deceiving us so easily. We are selling our iman. We are purveying our deen. our iman is so weak. We are shifting from Quran and Sunnah to dunya and fitna. The reason for our weakness is not a difficult or a hidden one. We are simply not abiding by the rules Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, has laid down for us. We shall continue to suffer humiliation and disgrace as long as we continue to turn away from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hundreds of prophets of Allah ta'ala, for example, hundreds of prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the Bani Israel nation. The nation and the religion recognized then by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by then I mean before Islam. Before Islam, the true deen and the true religion was the religion of the peoples of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Bani Israel that came to the Bani Israel peoples. Some of their leading and their powerful prophets, if you are aware, were Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Harun alayhi salam, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Great major prophets. All of them came, preached, taught, and invited the Bani Israel people to the Torah, to the true deen, to consistency, to obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as contained in the Torah, as taught to them by the previous prophets. All these that I have named, and several hundred more. One prophet died, another prophet was in there to replace. Sometimes there were a whole range of prophets working with the Bani Israel people, like Nabi Musa and Nabi Harun alayhi wasalam were at the same period and same time. They were brother prophets, fellow prophets. In spite of these great preachers and teachers and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Bani Israel failed to respond positively. They backed off and they turned away from the truth and from the Torah and from revelation and from divine ordainment and decree. They turned their backs to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we Muslims busy doing the same? We have received the chief of the prophets, only one. We have received the chief of the prophets, the greatest benefactor to mankind ever, the final messenger with the perfect teaching to mankind, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am asking you, are we going to turn our backs on him? Are we going to disappoint him? Are we going to show our distrust and disapproval of him, as was shown by the Bani Israel and many other nations of the past towards their respective prophets? We have a lot of sincere thinking to do on this matter of major importance in our lives. And it is important for us to do so. For we love our Prophet and we obey our Prophet. And Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means everything to us. His way is our whole life. Guidance for us lies in his way. Are we going to do what the Bani Israel did to hundreds of their prophets? Listen now to the warning delivered by Allah Ta'ala to the Muslims if they become unmindful, indifferent and unconcerned with their deen in the Quran Majeed. Before I proceed to give you a commentary of the ayat that I recited earlier, wherein are contained the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning the Muslims that if they do what the Bani Israel did, if they do what all the former nations who have been destroyed did, who turned their backs on their prophets and revelation did, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَذَلِكْ لِنُسَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا وَلَا يَعْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِعْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا وَلَا يَعْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِعْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا الَّذِينَ يُحْشَرُونَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ أُولَئِكَ شَرٌ مَكَانٌ وَعَدَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Surah Furqan, Surah the Criterion, 25th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 32, 33 and 34, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus do we reveal the Quran that we may strengthen your heart with it. through revelation, and we have arranged it in the best order. O Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you see, when it comes to your holy book and to your holy revelation, the book of guidance for you, your constitution, wherein is contained your commandments that I wish you to carry out, says Allah, we have revealed the Quran, and we have done so that it may strengthen your iman through revelation. And this Quran is arranged in the divine order, in the best order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is contained therein. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they, the disbelievers, bring you no similitude, no likeness and no comparison, but we bring you the truth. Subhanallah Muslimin, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these kuffar, they bring you no truth, nothing in them. And says Allah, the disbelievers bring you no similitude, but we bring you the truth and a most excellent interpretation, subhanAllah, of life, of meaning to life, of world, of hereafter, of grave, of everything, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bring you the truth, says Allah, and what we bring you in that revelation is the most excellent interpretation for mankind. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they, the unbelievers, who will be gathered on their faces in hell, they will be in the worst condition, and they will be the most astray from the right paths. So you decide which group you want to join, believers or unbelievers. For the unbelievers, the sinners, evildoers, wrongdoers, the iniquitous, they will be gathered on their faces in hell. They will be in the worst condition in that hell, and they will be the most astray from the right paths. The kuffar have a don't care attitude towards the hereafter. They have no qualms, they have no fears. With them life revolves around this dunya. They have an intense love for this world, and they are extremely unconcerned and negligent about the hereafter. Should we also develop such an intense love for this world that we begin to lose interest in the akhirah? What have the kuffar on offer? You can examine it for yourself. What do they have to offer? We have the Quran, which is true revelation. All we need to do is to follow this wahi. By being obedient to Allah Ta'ala, we will be saved from humiliation and disgrace in the akhirah. As to the fate of the kuffar, they will be in the worst condition in hell. We must decide which company we wish to keep and which company we wish to join. In the ayat following upon these recited to me earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about sending Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Harun alayhi salatu wasalam to the Bani Israel for having disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Bani Israel refused to heed the cries of their prophets, فَدَمَّرْنَاهُمْ تَدْمِيرًا, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we destroyed them, an utter destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us the aftermath of the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, who also rebelled against the preaching of their patient prophet. أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we drowned them. First one, Allah gives an example, and Allah ta'ala says, what did he do? He destroyed them, an utter destruction. We are well aware of what happened there and how they were destroyed. When it came to the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, aghraqnahum. The people of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you know about their drowning as well in the Red Sea. It's a famous story, it is very well known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these words to describe the final result. The prophets are their brothers, amidst them, living with them, preaching to them, teaching them, guiding them, showing them the way that Allah desires man to live. And in the presence of their prophet, during his lifetime, they are disobedient to their prophet. They rebel against him. They disobey him. Brothers, ask ourselves that if there was a prophet with us today, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not closed the door, supposing, hypothetical, I'm not allowed to do this, but just for a moment, if the Bani Israel nation, with all its skills, with all its wisdom and learning, they were a very clever people, with all the wise people they have amongst them, what they did to their hundreds of prophets, tell me, what would we do to a prophet today? Think about that. And then you think, here we have Quran, the living word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which these commandments are contained. What would we do? Would we act like the Bani Israel people? By denying them, mocking them, jeering at them, jesting with them, degrading them, abusing them. You know what they did to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. You are aware of what they did to Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. We are aware of all these stories. What would our responses and reactions be? This is what these commandments are all about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it came to the Bani Israel, فَدَمَّرْنَاهُمْ تَدْمِيرًا. We destroyed them, but how? Utterly, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and came to the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. They also did exactly the same. Living Prophet, living with them, teaching them, inviting them to good, forbidding them evil, telling them what is right, instructing them in the things that are wrong, what is legal, what is illegal, what is lawful, what is unlawful, what is prohibited, what is permitted. What happens right there amongst them? A living prophet of God, messenger of God, chosen God, totally innocent from all sin. What do the people do? What did they do to Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam? We are all. They drove him, and they drove him to the utmost limits of endurance. Because he was a prophet, he maintained his sanity and he continued with his task of preaching good and forbidding evil. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to the people that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom thought to be the best. أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ. We drowned them all. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the nations of Aad, Thamud, the people of Ras, and several other dissident and rebellious nations, saying, وَكُلًّا ذَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. And to each of them did we propound the examples to warn them, but they would not heed their prophet's call, they would not obey, they refused obedience, they rejected their prophets and the teachings of their prophets, and they became rebellious, transgressors, evildoers. The result was, وَكُلًّا تَبَّرْنَا تَتْبِيرًا. And each one of them did we utterly destroy, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kuffar have made greed and lust and evil desire their god. Lust is what they worship. What an evil condition of these unbelieving peoples of the world. This is definitely not the way for Muslimin. The chief instigator of man, the main mischief maker, is Shaitan. His evil machinations and dangerous whisperings mislead men into untold miseries. Shaitan leads men into shirk. He leads them to kufr. He leads them to nifaq, hypocrisy. He makes them to doubt religion. He makes them to doubt the truth of revelation. Shaitan secularizes their mind, meaning Shaitan removes God from the mind, removes Allah from the mind, removes the fear of Allah from the mind of man. For he has the facility to enter the mind of man. And through this, he instigates man and blots out from his mind the things that are not dear to man. He makes them lust for the visible and the pleasurable things of the world, the physical and the material. Shaitan has destroyed generations of mankind. Are we Muslims going to allow Shaitan to mislead us and to deceive us also, as he did with so many nations and peoples of the past? Listen to what the Quran asks of us. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحَسَبُوا أَنَّ أَكْسَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعَقِلُونَ. Surah Furqan, Surah the Criterion, 25th surah of the Quran, ayat number 43 and 44, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks of us. Says Allah, have you observed him who has taken as his God his own lust? Subhanallah. We are living with these kuffar people all around us, working with them, having them as our neighbors. We see them all the time. We know what kind of people. Those of you who work with them know what they have in their When of those of you who work with them know what they have in their minds? Every day we meet them, we see them, we know what their discussions are, we know what their discussions revolve around, we know what is in their minds most of the time, we know what is uppermost in their hearts, what their desires are, what they like, what they desire, what they lust for. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in wahi and revelation, have you observed him who has taken as his God his own lust, his nafs? Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you be a guardian over such people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so worried, why are my people not accepting me as the Rasul of Allah? Subhanallah. I have given them, imagine brothers sitting here, imagine, cast your mind back and think, Makkah Mukarrama. The finest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best in mankind, the chosen and beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, existing with them, walking with them, being in front of them, in their presence all the time. What an opportunity if you and I were there. What an opportunity to sacrifice ourselves for him and for his cause. And yet those kuffar walk around, and the mushrikeen and the munafiqeen walk around and reject him. They abuse him. They vilify him. They threaten him. They throw things at him. Is it imaginable what man can reduce himself to? How fallen can man become? Yeah, this is what Allah... Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he worries day and night. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying and weeping and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? What are my shortcomings? What is wrong with me that these people do not accept me and that they do not believe me and they do not follow me? He is perturbed and worried and concerned. Knowing, however, that he is the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is making istighfar 100 times, 1,000 times. How can I tell you how many thousands of times Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam daily asks and makes istighfar all the time. Oh Allah, why do they not accept Iman, Islam, my Risalat? You, oh Allah, your Tawheed, why do they not accept? Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh my beloved Messenger, do you see these people who have taken their lust as a god? This is addressed, this ayat is addressed to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am now spreading it further from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to humanity at large. The Muslims, especially to the Muslims and to humanity at large. And here is the answer. Can you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be a guardian over these people? No. Their nafs, their lust is their guardian, their hawa is their guardian and their Lord. They do not see, they cannot perceive the truth and your truth. Do you think, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that the greater part of them hear or understand? Subhanallah. We wonder sometimes why the truth does not penetrate into these people. Sometimes we hear them saying also, but brother, oh so and so, your religion is a great religion. Your religion is a true religion. How many hundreds of times have we heard it in our lifetime? I've heard it so often. And yet they do not get the hidayat to accept that deen and to follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe this ayat will open your eyes and give you an idea as to the reason for this. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have made lust, hawa, they are God. They worship that God. They worship themselves, the pleasures of life, the dunya, the material things and conquests of this world. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we be a guardian over them? And says Allah ta'ala, do you think that the greater part of them hear or understand? Brothers, that is going through here, going out through there. Rather, according to this ayat, it never even goes through here. So how can it come up through there? It just knocks away. It goes away. They don't even hear you. They don't even listen to you. These are the words of Kalamullah. أَمْ تَحَسَبُوا أَنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَأَقِلُونَ. But this is a question. Allah is asking us a question. Meaning, we now must investigate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a direction, a guidance. Says Allah, now you examine. Examine and check on your friends that are unbelievers and see. Try to talk some sense into them and see if they listen and understand. Brothers, try it. It is a request. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is asking us to do. So we will learn to be grateful and to appreciate what we have. This beautiful deen, Allah and His Rasul, Quran and Sunnah. How can we appreciate unless we examine and compare? the responses of those who have been drawn into the network of lust and greed through their nafs by the evil whisperings and suggestions of shaitan is that they become negative and unresponsive to the haq and the truth. They become deaf and dumb and blind as contained elsewhere in Surah Baqarah in the Quran Majid. Their spiritual energies are sapped and their thought processes are warped. What we are left with is an imbecile who works his way to hell because he operates on passions and emotions, on greed and lust. You want a true description of a madman? You want a true description of an imbecile, of a lout, of a foolish man? Then there it is. All these things a kuffar are. We hold them sometimes in such great esteem, Professor so and Doctor so. What esteem can we hold a person that is working himself towards hell, that has got no understanding of haq and truth? If he is a professor, cannot he see the truth? If he is a scientist, can't he perceive the haq and the truth which exists all around him? Will he wait until Yawmul Qiyamah that his eyes be opened? Is he going to wait until he goes into the grave before he starts to believe him? Before he starts believing? So what can he be if he is not a fool? What can he be if he is not an imbecile? What else is he? Why should we hold these people in such great respect? We frown upon the poorer Muslim, the simple Muslim, the one who is perhaps less than us, the have-nots amongst us. We frown, we laugh, we sometimes even degrade them. What kind of people have we become? When that poor Muslim, or that maybe simple Muslim and humble Muslim, maybe he's not so very learned, but he is dearer to us than all the kuffar in this world. Why do we create such schisms amongst ourselves? So, that is one of the lessons we derive from here as well. This has led man to so many fatal destructions in the past. Why should the Ummate Muhammadiyya ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam not learn from these lessons in the Quran and build their future on stronger and more solid foundations like those laid down by Sayyidina Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and our beloved Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who went throughout this world, read their stories, lead their lives, how they spread Islam throughout the world. Into Europe, into Asia, into the dark continent of Africa, they came marching the Sahaba with the torch of Islam and burnt and put alight the whole of this world. Who? The Sahaba Ikram in their simplicity. Brothers, they say when they made Salah, their frocks were so short that their knees all became burnt. They could not afford a clean new sheet of clothing. Our Sahaba Ikram, our most beloved, who spread this deen throughout the globe. How did they go into these jungles of Africa and the caverns and taverns of Europe, all over spreading deen, spreading haq, spreading truth, spreading tawheed and risalat and akhirat? We need to know these things. We need to know whom Allah wants us to love. They are the people that we should appreciate and thank and love and hold near and dear. Not the pop stars and the unbelieving heroes of this day. Go and ask our children, our teenagers, and ask them, whom do they know in this world? And they'll tell you the life story, the autobiography of every film star and pop idol in this world. They'll rattle it off even to birth dates and how they died. They'll give you lengthy descriptions of how these pop stars and film stars died. Our children, your children and my children, standard 6 to matric and university level children. But ask them about one Sahabi, ask them about one Sahabiya, meaning a male's, the male is Sahabi and Sahabiya is the female. Ask them. There are hundreds and hundreds of Sahaba Ikram. How many do we know? We do not even know the story of the four Khulafa Rashidain. Ask them about Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ask them about the wives of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ask our children of the true heroes of Islam and see if they can tell you one bit about them, how they embraced Islam and their contributions to this deen that you and I are following. What can they tell us about the Mufassireen? What can they tell us about the Muhaddiseen? What can they tell us about the great Fuqaha of Islam? What can they tell us about the great Awliya of Islam? Tell me of the ulama of this deen, the great jurists and commentators of this deen. What can our children tell us? What are we bringing them up for? And spark a message through to you. Not that this information is not available. No, brothers. This information is available. It is everywhere to obtain. Little effort on your part, no. You know what effort you want and what sacrifice you are prepared to make, where some money will go into your pocket, where you can derive some profit, where there can be some material gain. For that you will go to the corners of the world. But for deen, you wouldn't go even to the masjid around you to listen to what the ulama-i-karam have to say or teach. And I warn you that the moment you fall sick with your last illness, or when your eyes begin to close, you will capture the entire picture of your life in front of you. All wasted. All wasted, except the last few minutes of your life. Brothers, it may just happen to be too late. Learn for your own good to guide yourself and your family towards haq and truth. Do not leave it in abeyance, do not leave it too late. It is the most important part of your life to know deen and to have knowledge of this deen and to practice this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُتِئِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Surah Furqan, 25th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 52, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so obey not the disbelievers, but strive against them here with great endeavor. Subhanallah. So, O Muslimin, O believers, do not obey the disbelievers. فَلَا تُتِئِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Do not obey the disbelievers. Do not follow the disbelievers, says Allah. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ. The بِهِ means, and strive against them with the Qur'an. With great endeavor, do not give up. Keep telling them about this Qur'an. Keep telling them about the truth of this Qur'an. Keep inviting them to the deen. Keep portraying the goodness of this deen through your character and your practice. Through your morality, through your justice, through the sunnah. Let them see what you are. Let them see how you behave. Let them see how you conduct your affairs and your transactions. Let that be the invitation, the signals that you send out of your goodness and your purity, of your high morality, your high code of ethics and conduct and behavior. Once you give out these, this is what the Sahaba-i-Karam had. Do you think when they went into Europe, they knew all the European languages? And yet they went how far? Allahu Akbar, right through to Spain, almost the whole of Europe. No area of Europe was left by them. Subhanallah, Sahaba-i-Karam, humble beings, no means of transport except these legs. This feet carried them through rivers, this feet carried them through jungles, it carried them across mountains, brothers. What mode of transport did they have? They couldn't take the camel across Europe. They couldn't go on horseback. So what did they have? They had these legs Allah Ta'ala had given them. They left after the final khutbah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on Arafat in the Hajjatul Wada. They left over 100,000 and spread out throughout the world, never to come back to Makkah Mukarramah, never to come back to Madinah Munawwara, to return to their homeland, to their wives and their children, for they had been given an instruction. And whatever you hear and have received from me, you take out and you give to those that are not present here today. And they went and they carried out their task and job. Where did Europe get all this from? How did Islam spread? Did you and I then take that Islam from the stage where the Sahabas and the Tabi'ins and Tabi'ins left it? Did we then further it from there onwards? Or did we become their boys? Did we become their slaves? There came a stage when we did our job, and when we lost Spain, that is when the reverse started. And we've continued to reverse. We are in reverse gear up till now. And here is all the formulas contained in the Quran, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as to what Allah requires us to do and carry out in order to succeed, both in leading mankind to the truth and in guiding ourselves through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the head of this world, meaning to become the leading nation of this world. Not materially, spiritually. So obey not the disbelievers, but strive against the disbelievers with this Quran, with the dalail that is in this Quran, with the hikmah that is in this Quran, with the true revelation and teachings and commandments of Allah that is in this Quran, with great endeavor and consistency. You stick with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will succeed. Tests will come your way, but you will succeed as the Sahaba Ikram did. Islam is right. Quran is absolutely true. And the absolute is 100%. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the truth, and his way is the only way and the only solution for mankind. So what need do we Muslims have for following the kuffar ways, the kuffar ethics, the kuffar teachings, kuffar, everything kuffar, 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 brothers. We are colored and hued and painted from top to bit, from top to bottom, from head to toe in the colors and the ways of a kuffar. They are driven by shaitan. Their way is the way of hawa and nafs. Their way is the way of destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَا يَدُرُّهُمْ وَكَانَ الْكَافِرُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ زَهِيرًا. Surah Furqan, 25th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 55. And they, the unbelievers, worship besides Allah that which can neither benefit them nor hurt them. And the unbeliever is ever a helper of the devil against his creator and sustainer. That is what these kuffar are. Further elucidation upon what an unbeliever is. What admiration should we or our children have in their hearts for the kuffar, or the leaders of the kuffar, or the politicians of the kuffar, or the economists of the kuffar, or the great thinkers of the kuffar, scientists, professors, leaders, whatever you want to call them. What admiration should we or our children have for these people when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they, the unbelievers, worship besides Allah that which can neither benefit them nor hurt them, can neither benefit our children nor harm our children, can neither benefit us nor harm us. And the unbeliever, says Allah, is ever a helper of shaitan against his creator. What happens, brothers, is when we espouse, meaning love, look towards, when we espouse the ways of the kuffar and the leaders of the kuffar, you know what we are doing? We are opening the door, the front door of the house of this human body. We are opening the front door, the doors of leading into the heart and the mind of man. We are exposing it and opening it up for shaitan to walk in and to take control of our lives. This is what we are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the وَكَانَ الْكَافِرُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ زَهِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says an unbeliever ever helps the devil, the shaitan, against his creator. And there starts that's where we lose the battle. For when shaitan is allowed into our hearts and our minds and he takes control and starts pressing our mental buttons, what happens then? Here it is. We lose the fight. For he, what does he do? Ala rabbihi zahira. He creates a divide between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan turns people to infidelity, meaning kufr, and to rebellion, meaning zulm, to sin and transgression. Shaitan has even been the enemy of man, has ever been the enemy of man. We have to break from the evil temptations and deceptions of shaitan if we wish to succeed. This we can only do through willing submission to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I recited, some of which I recited earlier. In the ayat of Surah Luqman, which I recited earlier, which is Surah the 31st, I recited earlier, 15 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are given to be obeyed and to be followed by all true believers. These commands, these commands are as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show gratitude to Allah ta'ala, meaning make shukr always of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anishkur lillah. Secondly, associate not partners or equals with Allah ta'ala. La tushrik billah. I'm picking out from those ayat that I recited the commandments only. 15 commandments, here they come. First, anishkur lillah, show thankfulness and gratitude to Allah. Second command, la tushrik billah, do not associate any partners or do not set up any kind of equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would have loved to have given you examples now when Allah ta'ala says do not give equals with Allah ta'ala. I, in my mind, flashed the idea that let me give you a few examples, but time will not permit, brothers. You can ask me at some other time. I have dealt with the subject at length at other times. And when we talk of making equals with Allah, the commotion that it can create in this ummah, by merely saying, here Allah, la tushrik billah, do not associate or put anything to be equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then immediately if you say, well, this is an example of that kind of equality, and you will have Muslims who want to choke your throat.